Hey guys, and welcome to episode 236 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, in today's episode, I chat with Tori Shavira, who talks about her OCD story, opening up about her sexuality, contamination and harm worries, obsessions around driving and avoidance of driving, resistance to therapy, getting therapy. We talk about her first therapy session, her mindset towards recovery, and much, much more. I really enjoyed chatting to Tori, so I appreciate her giving us her time and to you guys for listening. OCD sponsor the OCD Stories podcast. OCD are passionate about making treatment more accessible, connected, and affordable. They now take insurance from some US insurance companies. OCD's therapy services are only available in the US currently, but the free tools in their mobile app are accessible to all. To find out more, head to go.treatmyocd.com/theOCDstories or click the link in the description. On the podcast today, I have Tori Shavira, who has kindly agreed to share her story with us. Welcome to the show, Tori.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And as you know, I always like to hear people's OCD stories. So as little as much detail, it'd be good to hear yours.
Sounds good. Yeah. So it's actually funny, quickly before we get into it, because I remember coming across your podcast when I was like at my lowest in my OCD battle. So it's kind of crazy being like full circle and being able to come on here and like share my story. So it's pretty cool. All right. So yeah, I've had OCD since as far back as I can remember, really. I mean, I have one memory in particular where I was around, like, I think I was in kindergarten, and I would save like the bags and things that my mom had like packed for me because I felt like it just made me closer to her. She worked full time, so I didn't really see her like throughout the day. She didn't take me to school or pick me up. So I felt like it just made me a little closer, you know, and that it would like prohibit something bad from happening even at a young age. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that I felt what it felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was like as far back as I can remember, like the earliest memory of like OCD. But a little background for me. So I am Latina. I am second generation. And again, my parents worked full time. So I was primarily taken care of by my grandmother, who had come over here from Mexico. So she would take us to school, like I said, and pick us up. And we'd have dinner with her until my parents would pick me up. So I did grow up also going to a private Lutheran school from about preschool to like eighth grade. And then I went to a private non-denominational Christian school for high school, which is where I think the black and white kind of like all or nothing thinking had like come from, which again, I think contributed to the progression of my OCD. So, I mean, I was a pretty normal and happy kid. I grew up playing soccer and loving sports and being outside a lot. And, you know, cleanliness or anything like that was not a really big deal for me until about maybe like high school was when the OCD kind of got a little bit more intense. I remember being a big counter. I would count things. So like, for example, brushing my teeth, I would have to like swish the water on each side five times in order to feel right or in order to like complete that task. Or breathing was like a big thing for me too, like controlling the amount of breaths I would take in or who I would breathe in, all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of, that was like primarily the physical compulsions I had. No one really knew though. But again, those were the physical compulsions that now looking back.
Yeah.
Had. I think my contamination OCD began around high school, like I said, like getting kind of more intense. And I remember just something kind of changed within me. And it was around the time I actually had met my first girlfriend. And I remember I was at a very conservative Christian high school. So they were pretty adamant about the fact that, you know, being gay was wrong, and like they would use other harsh words that I don't even want to repeat, but they definitely were like, if you get caught, you are going to be kicked out. So hiding that was, again, pretty harsh, like pretty hard to deal with. And again, that black and white thinking around who I was and like the fact that I had to hide it from everyone I knew not only instilled a sense of shame, but also a sense of like self-hatred, which OCD loves. So yeah, I was definitely, I feel like, in survival mode from like an early age in a way, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember starting out by cleaning everything and just never feeling like it was good enough, or clean enough. And I mean, it was like laughed about. I was like the clean one of my friends, or like my family was like, oh gosh, you always are cleaning or organizing or something. And like, I would laugh about it and laugh it off. But I mean, no one knew that I was being like absolutely like tortured by like this disorder, you know? And at the time I had no idea what it was. I had no idea what OCD was at all.
Yeah.
So again, just kind of like went through it. But, like another example, like nobody was like allowed on my bed. This is when I knew it was kind of getting a little intense, because like no friends or like family was allowed like to sit on my bed, like not even me, unless I had like showered or like changed my clothes. So if I had to sit on my bed, I would like use like Lysol spray on my skin in order to like clean enough. Yeah. So my hands were like super raw and still pretty like dry and rough. They're pretty dry still, but they were pretty, you know, raw and dry because of like me scrubbing not only surfaces, but myself also, you know. My grandma used to say in Spanish that I had hands like sandpaper because they were just so like raw. But anyway, so that subtype for me, the contamination, ended up lasting until like my 20s. And again, it was manageable. Like I would have these little quirks or whatever, compulsions, but it didn't necessarily like take over. So that lasted until about like my 20s. I ended up graduating from that high school and coming out. My family has been nothing but supportive. Which I'm super thankful for. But yeah, I lived a pretty normal life in my 20s. Like I went to college full time. I was working full time. I met my ex-girlfriend, fell in love, you know, the whole thing. I had started my to build my career in communications marketing, which is what I went to school for. So I had internships and this one really amazing internship at this fashion showroom that did dressings for celebrity red carpet events. So that was so much fun. Yeah. I was just kind of like living my life, you know? And then after I graduated from college, I actually got certified in my 200-hour yoga certification. So that was really cool. And yeah, just starting again to look for my like dream job out of college, because I was working in retail during college at the time, because it was just better for hours and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So looking for my dream job in like communications or marketing. And, my ex-girlfriend and I were just starting our lives together, you know. She was really well. She got a new job also, and we were just working towards moving out on our own because we were living with my parents at the time. And at the beginning of 2018, she got a huge opportunity to go to Europe for work, and I ended up going with her. And on that trip is when I ended up getting the job offer from that my dream marketing job. And then a week after we had gotten back from Europe, we moved out. I found an apartment, and then I started my job. So it was kind of like boom, 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 one after another, like really amazing things that, you know, happened. So it was pretty awesome. Everything was like starting to come together. All of our hard work was paying off, you know? But looking back now, I was definitely starting to show signs of like, of being in mental distress, like at the beginning of 2018 and on that trip specifically. And of course, at that time, neither one of us knew what was going on or what to look for really, or anything about mental health for that matter. We just knew I was acting strange and that my anxiety had been at an all-time high, because I've always had it, but it was kind of getting out of control. So we really didn't make a big deal of it, you know. But after we had got back, like I said, we moved out. We were just adjusting to being on our own in a new city. I mean, again, like I said, it was kind of picture perfect. We lived two blocks from the beach. I would literally drive down PCH to my new job, and it was like amazing. And then one day, something kind of just snapped. I was driving home from work, and I just had this intrusive thought of, what if I got in an accident? What if I hit someone and I didn't know? What if I cause an accident and I don't know? Like, it was the weirdest. It almost felt like just something snapped and I just could not get this thought out of my head. And it triggered this like visceral, like gut wrenching feeling. And I just remember like kind of losing it. You know, my entire body went numb and I was home and I just lost it. I was crying and screaming because I felt out of control. And that thought just again was like causing me to go down this rabbit hole of like what ifs and like worst case scenarios. And oh my gosh, it was just terrible. And my ex-girlfriend at the time had no idea what was going on. She had no idea what was happening. She just kind of saw her girlfriend at the time, like losing control of like my own mind, you know? And so she didn't understand how someone could like not know that, you know what I mean? Like when your brain is like working normally, you're kind of just like, oh, that did not happen. I can like logically, you know, explain that thought away. But when you have OCD, like it doesn't work like that, you know? So again, no one knew what was going on, but thankfully like my mom and my sister know me pretty well. So I had called them in that panic. And I was just like talking to them about it. Like, what if this happened? What if that happened? And luckily they know me by now. And they knew that I was always somewhat of a doubter. Cause again, they lived with me my whole life. So they kind of like knew of my behaviors. Again, we didn't know it was OCD, but like knew that I was a little bit of a doubter. I was always kind of like a what if person and whatever. So they were able to talk me down, but you know, my OCD only got worse from there. Like the what if started to spread to other things, like not only driving, but like what if I had hurt someone? What if I did something illegal? What if my words hurt someone? Or like, you know, it kind of just goes everywhere. So it consumed like my entire day. I mean, 20 hours of my day, I couldn't focus on work. So my work performance suffered and I ended up not being able to drive myself because of the fear that I would cause an accident or hurt someone and not even know it. So I gave up driving and it got so bad so that my ex-girlfriend actually had to drive me to work, which was a 45-minute drive to my work, which was basically 5 minutes away from her work, drive home, and then later on that day, like, drive herself back to work to start her day. It was pretty bad. And I just couldn't take that chance, though. You know, OCD convinces you that it's real or that your thoughts are real. So I just couldn't take that chance. So we had no idea what was going on. I knew I was just in the middle of something. Like, I was having an episode, but no one understood what it was. So, I mean, she still doesn't really know the severity of the situation, to be honest with you. But if she couldn't drive me that day, I would spend, like, an $80 Uber. $80 on like an Uber home from work. Or I would like tell my coworker that we had carpooled that day so he could take me to her, like her work and drop me off on his way home. And then I would just wait there from like 5:30 PM until like 9:30 PM. So she could drive us home. It was out of control. It just kind of, I like lost my mind. I was completely out of control and I was starting to deteriorate. I was this outgoing, like bubbly, fun, loving person who just loved like makeup and fashion and being over the top and, you know, being, you know, extra and loud. And I could barely like wash my face or brush my teeth. Like the thoughts were just so consuming that I couldn't really move, to be honest with you. I was just super broken. And then my body like physically hurt from the OCD. Like it hurt to do things except focus on the obsessions and ruminate. And I ended up going to my naturopath because I was like, there's just something wrong with me. Like there has to be something wrong with me, like physically, that can give me an answer as to like why I feel this way. And I have a history of like hormonal imbalance issues. So I figured, okay, it might be that, you know. So we tested my hormones and it ended up, I had like super low levels of progesterone. So that caused me to get really sick and bleed for 16 days out of the month and like hair loss and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up having to take rounds of progesterone, which helped me. It helped the bleeding, but it also had its other side effects. So like more hair loss, night sweats, just, you know, I was just sick. I was just so weak and exhausted all the time, both mentally and physically. You know, so I also think too, like, your hormone levels, especially as a woman, if you do have OCD, definitely contributes to the severity of your OCD also, which I would love to, you know, be able to figure that out one day so people don't have to suffer. But anyways, so again, neither one of us knew what was happening. I just knew that I was sick. And so, not only was my mental health deteriorating, my physical health was as well, and our relationship was too. So, it kind of took a toll, and I couldn't really like talk to her about anything, you know, like we couldn't recognize who I was. I was kind of paralyzed by the OCD, so she would really just talk at me, and I wouldn't even really be there to like hear what she was saying because the thoughts were just so loud, you know. And so I was alone a lot though in that apartment because her schedule was she would work like nights and weekends, and I worked a Monday through Friday 9 to 5. So the thoughts were just getting louder and more intense, and I just wanted some kind of relief. I just wanted like a moment of peace, so I would just pray to die, you know, just to have that moment of like peace. And your brain really does feel like it's on fire, you know? And because OCD like loves to focus on what you value the most, it triggers that gut-wrenching feeling, which then triggers you into a panic attack. And just the toll it takes on your body, like, it's insane. It's just incredible. Like, it's so exhausting. So I still couldn't focus on anything but those what ifs, you know, trying to work them out in my head, replaying things, you know. And it got to a point where I was like, I was, you know, trying to figure out how I could just like die, you know, how I could kill myself in that apartment. I couldn't take it anymore. It was just overwhelming. And again, I was alone. So yeah, I just really wanted peace. But luckily I realized my aunt unfortunately had killed herself a year prior, so I didn't want to do that to my mom again. And another one of the big reasons why I didn't end up going through with it was because my ex would be the one to find me, right? And still have to live there. And like, as stupid as this sounds, like, what would the neighbors think, you know? Like, they would always look at her as like the girl whose girlfriend killed herself in that complex. And I loved her too much that I didn't want that for her, you know?
Yeah.
Family. So I, you know, just kind of suffered through it and just obviously didn't go through with it. But there was one night where I was, you know, just stuck in the shower, almost like comatose, and I just couldn't move. And I just cried, and she came in to see what was going on. And I just broke down and I said, look, I need help. Like, there's something wrong with me. I need help. Please like help me. And so we were going to try to figure it out, and we were going to try to like, you know, get help and figure out what to do. And I think it was like later that week or something, but I had gone to school with her, and I had my parents come to her school because, again, I wasn't driving, to meet me, to pick me up from her school so they could take me to Target to go grocery shopping. Like, it was just out of control. And she told me later that day, she was like, I was so convinced that your parents were just going to take you and like commit you to like a hospital, you know. We just see myself being admitted to a psych ward because that's the only answer we knew. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't have a label for it, you know. So it was just a matter of time, you know, before, again, something like that would have happened. I would have been committed or whatever. But there was something in me that, like, I remember someone mentioning to me when I was younger, you might have like OCD because you're so like, you know, you're so organized and you're so clean. But I kind of brushed it off. I was like, okay, like, no, not really. Like, I don't really have that. I like things clean and orderly, but whatever. So I started to research it more and more. And I came across that website, intrusivethoughts.org, which I think now is made of millions,
Yeah,
so I came across that website, thank God. And I came across a couple articles about harm OCD, and I was like, oh my God, that sounds like me. That sounds like I have that, you know? But of course, like, OCD took over again and convinced me that there was no therapist that would understand these thoughts that I was having. Like, I was different. I was a monster. You know what I mean? Like, I was out of control. So I wasn't ready to go quite yet. And I had made a couple of calls to like three different OCD and anxiety centers in Southern California, but again, never followed through, was still a little scared and cautious. And the idea of filling out the assessment, like just reading the questions on the assessment, like, you know, it really scared me. I didn't know if I could admit those yet to anyone, but like myself. I could barely admit to myself, let alone to like an external person. So unfortunately, during that time, my ex was actually developing feelings for someone she was working with. And I mean, I wasn't surprised. So even at my lowest and like my sickest point, after almost 6 years, I decided to leave. And it honestly wasn't even about like the third party mess for me. It was just more so realizing that even if I was at my lowest and sickest, I needed a partner who would stand by me. And again, neither one of us knew the severity of my situation and that I was really, really sick. But basically, our six-year relationship was a casualty of what was going on, you know? And that happens a lot with people with OCD. Like, it tends to take away a lot of what you know and take over your life. You lose friends and relationships, family members to this disorder. It's very debilitating. So I moved out of that apartment that we like worked so hard for, and I moved back in with my parents and continued working at that job and just promised myself that I would focus on my recovery, because, you know, what else do I have to lose? I already lost my relationship and my apartment, and I was close to losing my job because my performance was suffering. So everything I had known kind of just was washed away, you know. So I slowly started to drive again, because my work was about like 35 miles away from where my parents' house is. And so I had to drive. I had no choice, because that Uber would have been insane. So I was slowly starting to drive again. But then the obsessions would move from one theme to another, as they usually do. And so I finally, like, again, told myself, you know what, I just need to get proper treatment for this. Like, I thought I was going to be able to get over it because I was driving again, but like, there's just no way, you know. I was 27 at that time. So I was like, 27 years of this, like, I can't, I just got to get treatment. So, I decided on two centers in like Orange County, and I decided to land on the Gateway Institute because it was on my way home from work. So it was like perfect. And I was super familiar with that area, and everything kind of contributed to where I was driving. If I felt comfortable, if it was daytime, like, so it was kind of perfect. And I went in for the assessment, and I was recommended, I believe, their intensive treatment program, which I couldn't afford. But they've been nothing but like great and supportive. So I just did what I could. And it still really took me a while to commit to treatment, because OCD, like, treatment, you need to be active, you need to be committed to it, or it's just not going to work, you know? And so my therapist, Chris Tronson, actually, awesome. I think he's been on the show before. Yeah. He told me to tell you hi.
he's a friend.
He's so funny. He's awesome. I love him. He's actually my therapist, and he also invited me to their group therapy, which has been amazing. And I still attend weekly. I'm still technically like in treatment. I'm still seeing Chris. And I learned something new about my disorder, and I'm so grateful for the Gateway Institute, and what it's offered me through finding treatment. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you for going into so much detail. I really appreciate it. And so, you know, I think when you initially said about before the Gateway, you had a couple kind of assessment type forms, and you didn't want to put down your thoughts or tick whatever the boxes were. Because, you know, as you said, you couldn't admit it to yourself, let alone put it out to the world, so to speak, or someone else. And then with the gateway, you said you put that off a bit because you were hesitant. And you mentioned about the kind of workload that was potentially involved or the commitment you had. Was that the main issue, or was there like something else as well that's still holding you back at that point? Or was it just the commitment?
It was the cost, and it was not fully, again, disclosing like really what was going on in my head. Even with like a therapist like Chris, who's been so great. But at the beginning of like my treatment journey, it was still kind of being hesitant to just be like, look, I'm afraid to drive because I don't want to hit someone while I'm driving or cause an accident. Like for me, that just sounded like someone was going to flip that on me and be like, but do you want to do that? Are you not being able to be trusted like in society? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was kind of just that, I think.
Okay. No, yeah. Thank you. And what was it that kind of tipped you over the edge, so to speak, to think, well, doesn't matter, I have to do this now?
It was being completely honest with myself. And for such a long time, I convinced myself that I could live with this, you know, I can get by with this, like it's fine. Sometimes it's in check and other times it's not, and I can just live my life like that. But it was really, you know, again, looking at myself and being like, I'm 27 years old and I don't drive all the time. Like I lost my independence. I lost all of these things, like my partner and my apartment. Like I was close to losing my job. All these things I worked for, you know, and I was like, I can't let it take anything else from me. I can't let it consume me anymore. I have to change. I have to make the change. And, you know, a lot of people fear with OCD, if they disclose their obsessions or their thoughts with their therapist, they're going to be reported. And at that point I was like, okay, I don't have any, even if I am, like, I don't have anything to lose anymore, you know? Like, it is what it is. I have to get help and I have to take control back over my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you for sharing that. And what was that, you know, then when you got into that first session with Chris, what was that like as an experience?
Very overwhelming. Very, very scary. The assessment was very scary. It was an in-person assessment, so that was scary. I remember crying for a lot of it. And yeah, with Chris, it was overwhelming and scary, but I had never felt like someone understood what I was thinking until like that moment, until he was like, okay. Like he didn't even blink when I had like talked about my fear of driving and like hurting someone. It was just like, yeah, okay, great. We get it. And I was like so relieved. I was like, okay, great. I'm good. No one's gonna like report me, or I'm not gonna lose my license, you know. So yeah, it was a huge relief.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome to hear. And obviously Chris himself has OCD, so okay. And then how long were you kind of doing one-to-one therapy with Chris?
I started, I believe it was late last year in 2019, and I'm still seeing him. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And did you say you were doing group as well?
I am. Yes.
Cool. What's that like?
It's great. I mean, again, I was super nervous going into it. But being around people that understand like what you're going through and understand why you maybe not be at the, you're not at the same place as other people your age, really is helpful. I mean, we kind of cut the BS away, or like the small talk, if you will, because there's no like, hey, how's the weather today? Or like, how's your day? Like the small talk when you're like, hey, I'm afraid of like hurting someone, or like, I have a fear that I will die and get cancer if I like breathe in this gas. You know what I mean? Like it just kind of cuts the BS away and goes straight to building actual meaningful relationships with people.
Yeah, no, I agree. And is this a support group or a therapy group?
Well, I think it's both. Well, I think it's more of a support group, but we definitely like focus on OCD and like bring up topics and stuff, everything related to OCD. So
cool.
No, yeah. Gateway Institute.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
No, thank you. And what's been the hardest bit about going through therapy for OCD?
I would say the hardest part is, I think, you again, committing to the work that it takes, you know, like you actually doing the exposures, because it is ERP, right? So you doing your homework and you disciplining yourself to do the exposures, as uncomfortable as it is and as triggering as it is, you have to do it, you know? And that, I think, is what kind of turns people away, because they're not really ready yet. They're just so used to their compulsions that provides that temporary relief, because that's what we all want, right? People with OCD, we just want that moment of like peace. But doing the exposures and working through the exposures will give you way more relief than the compulsions will.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. Okay. So was there any kind of moment of working with Chris where something just clicked and you understood what was going on in your head, or how to get better from it, or anything like that, like light bulb moments, epiphanies, or?
Oh, 100%. First, actually admitting to myself and understanding that it's a disorder, right? It's like a brain disorder that you have, was huge. Realizing that, yes, recovery is in your control, but having the disorder is not in your control, like, really changed the game for me. And I got to a point where I was a little familiar with Chris's story before I started seeing him, and kind of seeing how he came from where he was to this place of empowerment really kind of helped me switch too. I mean, I just didn't want to be scared anymore. I didn't want to be the woman that OCD took everything from. I didn't want that to be my story, you know? I wanted to be the woman who overcame this brain disorder. And I've been through a lot, you know? Like, coming out and, like, my hormone stuff and all the surgeries that I've had for that. And I was like, this isn't me. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let OCD take over my life anymore. I'm stronger than this, you know? And I do have to wake up every day, and like, we have to fight this battle against our own brains, right? But we're not going to stop, you know, and exhausting as it is, and we just won't stop. You know, I told myself that. I was like, I'm determined. I got my life back, right, from losing it. I'm determined to live it to the fullest.
Nice. Yeah, I like the attitude. Thank you for sharing it. And with homework, because, you know, that itself to me is a dirty word. You know, as a kid, homework was something I just didn't do. I think I paid the price for that for many years. But what's your take on kind of how do you get yourself to do the homework or between session work each week? You know, whether that's like actual things you put in place to remind yourself or just kind of a mindset.
Perfect. That's a really good way to put it, having a mindset. So I ended up leaving that full-time job in marketing at the end of 2019 also, around the time I really started treatment. It is a mindset for me. Like, so I'm not working full-time. I mean, before coronavirus, like, I was working part-time at like a fitness studio. So I really told myself and committed to myself, like, hey, recovery is going to be your job, right? Because I want to get back into being like working full time. I want to get back into having a career, having relationships, dating, friends, like all of that, driving, like, geez, you know, I want to get back to that, to where I was. So right now, for the time being, I don't know how long it was going to take me, but recovery is your job. It's going to be your full time job, you know? So going to your sessions and disclosing everything like to Chris and really working through those like fears and anxieties, and as embarrassing as it sounds, you know, like, or uncomfortable as it is to share, it was my job. I really wanted to get back into being not normal, but, you know, like where I was, you know, functioning a little bit more in society, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Excellent. And, you know, maybe it's too early to tell in your therapy, but and obviously it could not be as well, but you had the 2018 kind of when it really just, you said something snapped.
Yeah.
But then pre-university or college, you had traits, and as a kid, Would you say where you're heading is kind of pre-snap or pre any of it, if that makes sense?
I would say it's neither, to be honest with you. I would say where I am currently and where I'm headed is it's going to be kind of better than those, because I wouldn't say in denial before, but I wasn't aware of how to manage it or manage the anxiety that came with OCD. So now I can work through my day, because like we said before, it is every day, you know, it's work just to kind of, you know, face your own brain. But now I can work through my days with the tools that treatment gave me. And I think it's way better, because before I would say my anxiety was always at like a level that was like manageable, but still there, you know, like it was there. Some things would set me off and other days it would be higher than normal or whatever. But now it's like very low, because I know I can use the tools that treatment had given me to really be like, look, this is OCD. You know, it's not real. It's not you. You know, before I felt like those things were real. Now it's like, no, it's not. You know, it's your OCD. So.
Cool. No, thank you for sharing that. And what else? So beyond therapy and the support group you're in, what other things do you do, or that kind of help around this?
Oh, I am constantly researching OCD, reading articles. I follow a ton of amazing, amazing therapists and OCD advocates and Instagram pages. Shiva is one of them. I think she's been on here before. She's amazing. Yeah. Carrie, what's her last name? Carrie Osborne. Her book has just come out. Have you heard of it? The Obsessive Outsider. Oh, okay, it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So reading just anything OCD related or researching, and not in like a compulsion way, because I'm very aware of that, but more in like an educational way, you know, understanding OCD from the inside out. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of just what I do to help with it. I also work out a lot. Working out is like my saving grace. It always has been, but yeah, just being active and educating myself.
Yeah, no, thank you for explaining that. And you mentioned yoga earlier. You got your yoga certification. Is that something you do currently?
The last time I was teaching was around like December, I believe. But yeah, yoga is amazing. Just moving my body is something that I need to do to feel grounded and balanced every day. So yes, I love yoga, being mindful, meditating. As hard as it is to kind of sit still sometimes, it's very important. And being mindful is also somewhat of like a treatment for OCD as well. As you know, it's hard, but yeah, I do yoga a lot and love working out and being active, moving my body. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. And, I guess, just words of hope for people with OCD.
I would say, again, as exhausting as it is and as hard as it is, wherever you are, like in your journey, you're going to get through it. You can get through it. You know, if you get treatment, I promise you it's worth it. You know, you can rise above this disorder. And I know it's so torturous, but you're stronger than this, you know. You're powerful. You're very powerful. And again, with the tools that treatment gives you, you can rise above and you're going to be okay. It's
going to
be okay.
Cool. Thank you. And similar question, for someone just starting therapy for OCD, what would you tell them, or what would you have wanted to know at the start of it?
Well, it's going to be a rough ride. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be a rough ride, but again, I promise it's worth it. It's going to be uncomfortable for a while, but the relief you're going to feel when you're done, or like when you're pretty far into your treatment, it's going to be amazing. Like, I promise you.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so you can pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self. What would you tell her?
I would say it's going to be okay. I know you're scared. I know it's been a lot, but it's going to be okay. Just trust yourself and know that you're strong enough to get through whatever comes your way.
Nice. Good, cool. Yeah. And you've got a billboard in LA. What do you want written on that billboard?
Ooh. I mean, it's not my quote, but it's like a quote that I love. It's just be kind to everyone because you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that one. And then lastly, is there anything else that you wish you could have shared today?
I mean, I don't think so. Not really.
Cool. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your story. I enjoyed hearing it, and I'm sure the listeners will too.
I hope so. Thank you for having me.
So there you have it. Thank you so much to Tori for her time, and of course, as always, to you guys for listening. And don't forget, today's episode is sponsored by NoCD. To find out more about NoCD and their therapy plans, head over to go.treatmyocd.com/theOCDstories or click the link in the episode description. And quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. Until we speak, take care.